You are listening to the Eternity Church Podcast. For location and service times, please visit us online at myeternitydm.com.
Church, how many of you are here today expecting to hear from God? Come on. Some of you drove here deliberately through what you perceived to be bad weather, even though you didn't want to get up today, but something made you get up today, and you're here driving where others wouldn't because you know that God's got something for you today. Come on. Amen. Welcome to Eternity Church. My name is Jed Spira. I'm the associate pastor here, and you probably can tell by now I'm excited to be preaching today. Are you excited for this morning?
Yes.
Good, come on. Welcome to church. Take your seats. If you're joining us by live stream, we're excited that you're here as well. Woo, man, thank you so much. That was fantastic. Church, how many of you were here last week when we kicked off the viral series? Come on. Were you here when we were at the viral series? So if you weren't here, go get the podcast because it'll bless your life. I can promise you that. But church, I want to talk today and continue the sermon called Viral. Everybody say viral.
Viral.
Say it again, viral.
Viral.
You see, we have this belief that God wants to take what he's doing in and through us here at Eternity Church. Things like creativity, things like generosity, things like honor. That God wants to take what we're doing here at Eternity Church and he wants us to hold on to it and grab onto it so harder than and then take it out of the walls of this place, and it starts to bless Central Iowa and beyond, church. We have this belief that maybe, just maybe, the rest of the world could start looking to the church for how to do creativity, can start looking to the church for how to do generosity, can start looking to the church for what love means and how to love, amen, and to start looking to the church to find out how we show each other honor. That's what we're talking about today. Everybody say honor. All right, turn your attention to the screen for a quick video.
Number 61, Joshua Martinez. Marine Last Corporal Ephraim Martinez.
That's a good video right there. That's a good video. There's so much honor happening on that field in that moment. How many of you have seen videos like that that go viral? Videos of soldiers coming home. Videos of people going across the street to help somebody else to cross the street when they can't. Videos of people crossing cultural lines just to do something to honor somebody else. Those videos go viral. We all pick up on them and the tears start flowing and they're incredible. So today, church, we're going to speak about honor. Now, when pastors sometimes start to preach about honor, it's not uncommon for them to start off by saying something like, well, we live in a day and age in which the culture is not really a culture that knows how to honor, or rather they'll say honor is not something that a culture, that our culture knows what to do with, that we don't honor, that we don't understand what to do with it. And I understand what they're trying to say, but I kind of disagree. I happen to be of the opinion that we and everybody else are actually so thirsty to receive honor and so hungry to give honor that we're often tempted to place honor onto things that maybe aren't necessarily worth the honor that we give them. Like, that's a really honorable moment. But sometimes we can place honor on things that maybe just maybe aren't quite worth the amount of honor that we give them. Let me give you an example. When I turned 30, my wife, Pastor Christy, she took me to Kansas City as a surprise birthday gift to see God's favorite team, the Green Bay Packers, play. Come on, you can clap. It's okay. If you're booing, it's okay to be wrong. It's all right. So, go Vikes. So we went to Kansas City to see the Green Bay Packers play the Kansas City Chiefs. Enemy territory, right? And we walk in, they're dressed head to toe, Packers gear. We got tickets from season ticket holders who are Kansas City Chiefs fans. So we're sitting surrounded by Kansas City Chiefs in like Bud and Sandy's seats. And there we are. And we're tooting and hollering. And you would have thought by the amount that I was yelling and by the amount that I was cheering and what I was saying to the people on the field that the people on the field were worth more honor than anything in the entire world. How many of you have had that sort of experience either in front of your television or at a game, right? A big play would happen in our team, because when you talk about it, us, like, oh, like I did something. Our team would go down the field and score a touchdown, and everybody around me is sitting down, and I'm standing up, and I'm pointing, and I'm getting after it, making a complete fool out of myself. Praise God that I'm a much more mature man now, that I don't do that, and Green Bay doesn't win many games these days, so it's easy not to do that. If I dish it, I can take it. It's okay. For the sake of our time together, when we're talking about honor, when I say the word honor, I'm referring to something or someone that we value or that we find worth in, okay? So don't you remember those two words as we go through the morning, value and worth. The Bible actually has a lot to say about honor. Jesus says in the Gospel of John, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. There's verses about offerings and tithes. Speaking about the tithe and how God promises not to just provide us, but also provide for us, but to bless us as well. Proverbs says this, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of your crops. And then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. That's a good word right there. Honor and blessing tend to be tied to each other, amen. Honor is so important to the Apostle Paul that he wrote this to the church at Philippi. He said, and now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Honorable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. The Bible has a lot to say about honor, and I suppose what I could do is I could stand here and say, well, God says honor your leaders, God says honor parents, so let's just do it. It's in the Bible, so we should just do it. I trust that the authors of the Bible knew what they were writing and that God inspired it, amen? So I could just say, look, it's in the Bible, so we got to do it. But there's something incredible that happens when we come to know about and experience the character of God. And when we do that, we find out more about the why behind what he says to do, amen? Instead of just telling us, do this, we find out about the why. I want to give you an example. How many of you are familiar with the parable of the lost sheep? Have you heard this story? Jesus is telling his disciples this story about a shepherd who has 100 sheep, and one of the sheep gets lost. And the shepherd leaves the 99 and finds the one. And when he finds the one, he puts that sheep on his back, on his shoulders, and then he carries it home. Now let me ask you a question. Why would a shepherd leave 99 perfectly good sheep just to go find one who's disobedient? He's got 99 here that are perfectly obedient. They're here. One's lost. He can't find it. 99 out of 100 ain't too bad. Why on earth would you leave 99 perfectly good obedient sheep to go find the one that's run off? Because he loves the one sheep. Because the one sheep is important to him. Amen? Because he's very interested in making things whole. I used to be that one sheep that he came. Maybe some of you in this room used to be that one sheep that he left the 99 and went after and brought home. And the story's beautiful because we get to experience the why behind God doing what he does. So when we're talking about honor, we get a similar glimpse of God's character in the book of Romans. If you've got a Bible, turn to Romans 12, 9 through 13. The Apostle Paul writes this. He says, let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil, hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. And listen to this. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. And contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Love and honor. It's absolutely incredible. That's love in action. That's what love looks like right there. If you were to want to see what love looked like, it's right there. And we see God's why behind this when we look at love in John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, he writes. Love one another as I've loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone, by this, by your love, by how you treat each other, when you honor people and you love them, by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. Church, we want everyone to know Jesus. We want everyone to know Jesus, the risen Savior. We want everyone to know that we are Christians so they know what a redeemed life looks like. And this verse talks about our love being like the primary advertisement for what's in our heart. And honor, and in fact, outdoing one another in honor, plays a key role. You see, we have this belief here, for those of you who've been around for a while, you know this if you're new. We have this idea that God is so intentionally interested in something incredible happening in our lives that he gives us opportunities with every interaction that we have. He gives us opportunities to take part in the kingdom building work that he's doing. With every interaction that we have with people, he's so interested in something incredible happening in our lives and in theirs that he gives us these opportunities to take part in the kingdom building work that he's doing. So let me ask you a question, church. What if the church, and more specifically this church, was the epicenter for a culture of honor that sweeps around not just Des Moines and central Iowa, but further, maybe all the way over in places like Mumbai, India? What if it started here, church, top to bottom, side to side, all the way around, inside and out, that the rest of the world would take their cues for how they should show honor from the church, how to honor leaders, how to honor one another? What if it started here, church? Wouldn't that be incredible? In so many ways, honor has everything to do with loving God, loving his creation, and loving the plans and the purposes that he has for our life and for theirs. How many of you know God has a plan and a purpose for your life? He does. We'll talk about that later, but he does. For us. And for some of us who have a hard time receiving, this can be a challenging concept. How many of you aren't necessarily all that great at receiving help or gifts? Come on, how many? How many of you are like me, right? I used to be, and I'm a work in progress, but I used to be like the absolute worst at receiving anything. God had to do a work in my life personally to show me something very important, that not only is it okay to receive, but that it's supposed to happen, but that it's appropriate and in line with his will for my life to receive. I used to be the worst at receiving gifts or help, not to mention honor, and he's still working on me, but he had to put me in a situation where literally I had no option other than just to receive. So for those of you who raised your hands, don't let it get to that point, because if you think you're uncomfortable now receiving help, wait till you get into a situation where you don't have any option other than to receive help, and you will experience a level of like discomfort that you could not know is possible. But something that can hold us back from giving honor to people is that we ourselves don't believe that we're due any honor. That we don't believe that we're due any honor. And it's very difficult to give something that you yourself are unwilling to receive. You see, if we don't know who we are, and more importantly, if we don't know whose we are, it can become difficult to know what's appropriate for you to receive. Let me tell you, now that I know Jesus and he lives in me, I know that I'm a son of the Most High, and I have a clearer picture of what's appropriate for me to receive. Because if you don't know what you should receive, it's difficult to be humble. Honestly. If you don't know what to receive, it's difficult for you to be humble. If I was sitting here and I had the best seat in the house, which I have the best seat in the house this morning, I got to tell you. But if I was sitting in here and I had the best seat in the house, and you walked in, and I chose to stand up and give you that seat because I didn't think that I really deserved it anyway, how many of you know that I wasn't being humble? I just didn't believe that I deserved the seat that I was sitting in. But that's not humility, right? I just didn't think that I was supposed to be there. But if I knew that the seat was due to me and I chose to give it to you anyway and honor you with the seat, all of a sudden now I'm walking in humility. Two different things. I remember last Christmas we had Christy's entire family over at our house, and we all gathered at our house for family breakfast and for family dinner. And historically, those kinds of things would happen at Christy's parents' house, the matriarch and the patriarch of the family, right? But this year, we were gathered at our house, and so there we were, and we're gathered around. We got a long table, and we're gathered there, and we sit down to eat dinner. And it would be typical for me to pray for the meal that we're about to have. That would be typically something that I would do. But I chose in that moment to ask her dad if he would bless the meal. I knew that it was our table, I knew that it was our house, and I knew that we were serving the meal, but I wanted to bless him in that moment and show him honor in a special moment where his family was gathered. Are you with me, church? If we have trouble receiving honor, there's a chance that it's because we've bought into some sort of lie about ourselves. That because of our past or our own lack of quote-unquote importance or something that we've done or said, that for some reason we shouldn't receive honor. You know what the great lie about our pasts is? The great lie about our old lives, the great lie about the things that we've done in the past? The great lie is that our old lives will go so viral that it will completely undermine God's plan for our future. That's a big lie to buy into. That our past will somehow go so viral that it will undermine God's plan and purpose for our future. It's a complete lie. Many of you know the Apostle Paul. Paul wrote most of the New Testament, but how many of you know that he wasn't always a follower of Jesus? In fact, quite the opposite. After Jesus is crucified and resurrected, there's this movement to hunt down Christians and to persecute them and to beat them and to even kill them. And Paul was right in the thick of it. He was a persecutor of Christians. And then he meets Jesus, and his life is completely changed. And he gives him an assignment to go preach the gospel and to plant churches. And so he travels around, but there's this problem. Everywhere that Paul goes, they know who he is because they know what he's done. You see, Paul's past had gone viral, right? And so he'd show up at these places and they'd say, hey, wait a minute, I know you're trying to tell me about Jesus, but aren't you the guy who used to persecute Christians? His past had gone viral. I know what that feels like. When I started preaching years ago, this is years ago, before I'd get up to preach, I'd say, oh God, please don't have anybody come through the doors that used to know me way back when. Because I don't want anybody to walk through these doors that used to know me way back when and used to know who I was and what I used to do, because I don't want them to walk in here and say, oh, that hypocrite's up on stage and he has no right being there, so I'm going to walk out the doors. Because I believed this lie that somehow my past was going to undermine God's purpose for my life. And then he got a hold of me and he changed my life. And now thankfully when I walk on stage, I literally play, God, send somebody through the doors that used to know me way back when, who knew what I did and who I was, so they can come and they can see what a transformed life could look like. I literally played. Thankfully, God got a hold of me. And isn't it just like the evil one to tempt you with the lie that your past is too big for the blood of Christ to cover it? Like your past is too big for the blood of Christ to cover it. And somewhere along the line, thankfully, he got a hold of me and he changed my perspective. And that's exactly what happened to Paul. And they would call him on his past, and he would essentially say, yeah, that's true, you're right, that was me, but let me tell you about what God did in my life. His story and his past set him up and gave him an opportunity to tell them what a changed life would look like. In fact, the transformation was so great. You remember the scripture that I read to you from Philippians. Paul writes this, "Keep putting into practice all that you learned and received from me, everything that you heard from me and saw me doing. Yes, I know what you know. I know that you know what I used to do, but now because I live a transformed life, you can listen to me and do what I do now." That's the power of a transformed mind and heart, church. So I build all this up and talk about receiving honor because I have this idea that if we could start learning how to give honor and outdo one another in honor, something incredible can happen. Something incredible could go viral. So I want to share with you a few points about honor. If you're taking notes, this is a good place to start. Let me talk about leadership for a moment. Point number one, and I'm talking about leaders in church. When we honor our leaders, we are essentially acknowledging God's love and provision for our spiritual health. When we honor our leaders, we're acknowledging God's provision for our spiritual health and well-being. Jeremiah 3, verse 5. This is right after God is calling Israel back to him from their faithlessness. And he says this, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart, who will lead you with knowledge and understanding." Church, when God calls a pastor, when he's looking for a pastor, he's looking at the heart. And I'm here to tell you that God loved you so much that he has sent you a pastor. In our case, from all the way halfway across the world with his wife, Lauren, and two kids at the time and like a bunch more now. God loves you so much that he sent you a pastor to look after and to shepherd you because he's so interested in your spiritual health and well-being. And he didn't just stop there. He raised up other people to be pastors. We have five of them on staff now. Pastors to look after you and encourage you and shepherd you. And then he didn't just stop there. He started to raise up leaders who over the course of a weekend and through the week could look after your church experience and could look after your spiritual health. Leaders like Lauren Beatty out of the coffee bar. How many of you like the coffee in the morning? Come on. Leaders like Julio and Raquel Obando who now lead all of our connect groups. Come on. By the way, if you want to lead a connect group, text the word groups to 25827. Julio, you owe me. No, he doesn't. But I'm serious. God raises up leaders to look after you, church. It's something incredible that happens. If you're in a connect group, I want to encourage you to honor your leaders. These are people raised up to look after you and look after your family. They've set aside time not just to be available to you and to open up their homes to you or to hang out in coffee houses and restaurants with you, but they pray for you. They pray for you through the week. They check in on you. Pray for your connect group leaders, church. Pray for your leaders here at church. Thank them when you see them next. When you're walking out today, whether it's the usher team or the coffee bar, thank them. Encourage them in the work that they're doing. Church, when they give you godly counsel and advice, listen to them. Bless them. Look for ways to honor them. Something incredible happens when you honor people, when you honor your leaders. It's like you're pouring fuel into their tank. These people are set aside by God to look after you and to lead you. So honor them, church. Point number two. When you show honor to people, you appreciate God's handiwork. When you show honor to somebody who's standing across from you, you are appreciating God's handiwork. One of my favorite verses in all the Bible, Ephesians 2:10. For we, that's you and me, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So when you acknowledge that in someone, you're acknowledging God's handiwork. When you honor them, you're acknowledging God's handiwork in their lives. How many of you know that you are not meant to walk through this life wondering whether or not you have a purpose? You are not meant to walk through this life wondering whether or not it's all meaningless, church. This verse specifically speaks to the fact that we have purpose in this life. God loves you so much that he actually set aside works for you to do because he's so interested in you having a purpose. And not only us, but everyone that we meet, everywhere that we go, it's the same with them. So when we honor people, we appreciate the plan and the purpose God has for their lives. Amen? Point number three. When you honor people, you affirm that God cares about them. When you honor people, you are affirming that God cares about them. I have this declaration that I make. Sometimes I'll make it from the stage. When I'm with people one-on-one, sometimes I'll say this phrase that I have. And it's when I want them to get a glimpse and an understanding of exactly who they are as sons and daughters of God. It goes like this. You are a son and daughter or daughter of the Most High, holy and dearly loved, fearfully and wonderfully made. You were knitted together in your mother's womb, and you were created in Christ Jesus with a purpose because he created works for you to do. That's what the Word God says about you, and that's what the Word of God says about me. One of the landmark victories in your life will be receiving this truth. If you embrace that, all of a sudden things start to change. You walk into a room knowing exactly who you are. I'm a son and daughter or daughter of the Most High. I walk into a situation, into a conversation differently than I would have before. It's important. And it's not just your story, but it's everybody else's story too. So when you show honor to people, you affirm that in their lives as well. Are you with me? The next point, and this is a good one. This is for somebody this morning. When you honor people, you prophetically speak over their lives and over the future of your community. When you honor people, you prophetically speak over their lives and over the future of your community. Church, here's what I mean. When you perceive something in somebody that they can't see, when you see who they truly are as a son or daughter of the Most High, though they can't see it, and you speak that into their lives, you say that to them, or you show them honor in such a way that shows them exactly who they are, it's like you're looking at this diamond in the rough, and what you're choosing to do is saying, no, this isn't just a piece of rubble, because underneath all this, there's a diamond there, and you can't see it, but I'm going to speak it over you as a prophetic declaration over your life, because it's more true to the core of who you are than this rubble that you see outside, church. So when you honor people, you are giving a prophetic declaration over their lives, and it resonates with them because they are an image bearer of God. God is up to something, church. He's building his kingdom, and you and I are ambassadors. And as individuals and as a local church body, you are uniquely positioned in your neighborhood and in your city to be co-laborers with what God is doing. None of you are where you are by accident. In your neighborhood, at your job, the coffee house that you stop at every way on the way to work, it's by design, church. And all of us who believe in Jesus, we are in the ministry. You may not have known that when you came to church this morning, but I just gave you a new job description. If you believe in Jesus, you are all in the ministry. And we do this work not because of what we currently see, the rubble, but because of a future in which we see the promises of God coming to pass. And the thing is, if we believe in Jesus, if you believe in Jesus, you are uniquely qualified to do the work that he's given you to do. That's the qualification that you need, church. I'll talk about gifting here for a second. And calling. As a pastor, I often get invited, and all of us on staff as pastors, we often get invited into the difficult situations in people's lives, into uncomfortable situations, and it's an honor. I mean, like, it's an absolute honor for someone to ask you into a difficult situation in their life. Sometimes we get to hang out with people on the mountaintops, and that's absolutely fantastic. But how many of you know that there's grace in the valley, too? Right? And sometimes I'll be in a difficult situation or I'll come out of a difficult situation and somebody outside of that situation may say something like, man, I just don't know how you do that. Like, I just don't know how you go into a situation like that. Like, man, you are gifted in a way that I'm not gifted. I just don't have that gift. And I understand what they're saying because nobody wants to step into a hard situation. But I don't think me going into those types of situations or conversations, etc., have much necessarily to do with how I'm gifted. Not when I walk into it. Like, I'm aware of how God's gifted me, and I believe when I go into a situation that it could be an assignment for me to go into, and I believe my giftings will show up, but I don't believe it's my gift that's got me there. I believe we're all called. All of us are called to walk into situations in life and perceive the image of God in somebody's life. Regardless of what the outside shows, we're all called to walk into people's lives and to speak something over them in a moment. I believe it with all my heart. That's what sets us apart, church, is we have this ability to walk into somebody's life. And because Jesus lives in us, meaning that the light of the world lives in us, which means the antidote that the world needs lives in us, that when we walk into a situation, we're literally carrying with us the hope of the world. That's everybody who believes in Jesus. So there's no such thing as a dark place when you walk into it, because all of a sudden you're there and the light of the world lives in you, church. Come on. Because we've been made in His image. We've been made in His image. And so has the server at the restaurant that you're going to go to after church that serves you your food. Right? And in a moment of life where you might not be thinking about much, but you're getting groceries and somebody's checking you out at the checking out your groceries, that person has been made in the image of God too. And so is your neighbor when you go home. And that neighbor is working in their garage and you go home. That person has been made in the image of God too. And so has your boss when you walk into work tomorrow. Come on, that's for someone. So has your boss when you walk into work tomorrow. How many of you know that if you work in a situation where you don't necessarily feel as though you're receiving maybe the respect or honor that you deserve from your boss, that doesn't mean that you can't honor them. In fact, I believe if we're looking at what Scripture says, and it says in 1 Peter that everybody is due honor, and then it talks about outdoing one another in honor. I believe if you go into a situation that you perceive to be completely unhonorable, you can go in and give honor, and I believe it will release a blessing in your life. I believe it will with all my heart. There's hundreds of people who are going to come into this church this weekend. There's already been hundreds of people in this church this weekend. What if we all started carrying with us an intentional purpose to outdo folks in honor? Like to outdo one another in honor. What if we started carrying with us an intentional purpose to outdo one another with our words and actions, and in the seemingly mundane times of life, we speak and display that we value the person that we're sharing those few moments with, and that we find them to be of worth? What might spark to life in them when you do that? What might spark to life in them? What if they come into contact with a kingdom principle that is somehow so familiar to them because they are an image bearer of God, that when you speak something into their lives or when you honor them, it sparks something to life in them? Because how many of you know there's nothing in life that is actually a mundane moment. There's no such thing as a mundane, seemingly unimportant moment in life. Oh, I'm just at the checkout line at the grocery store, right? I'm just getting my groceries. They're scanning through the thing. Yeah, but the person sitting across from you who's checking out your groceries is in the middle of their job. Like, they may be in the middle of their vocation. And maybe an hour and 25 customers from now, that person will be presented with an opportunity to show honor to a person who's getting their groceries. And the brief moment that you share with them right now so profoundly impacts their life that it sets them up to share the same cultural phenomenon of honor with that customer an hour later. That's how things go viral, church. So what if we start here? Like, what if we start here, honoring each other, outdoing one another in honor? What would that look like? What would that look like? How many of you are competitive? Raise your hand if you're competitive. Some of y'all ain't. There you are. There you go. What if those of you who are competitive are not just competitive by some accident of how you were made or how you grew up, but what if God planted in you a competitiveness that is so core to your assignment that what He's going to give you because He created you with works to do, that all of a sudden that comes in contact with a kingdom principle like honor, and then you start getting competitive because you believe what the Word of God says about honor, and you start wanting to outdo one another in honor? What would that look like? Here, I'm going to buy you a coffee. Oh, that's cool because I bought you two coffees. Oh, well, that's cool because, like, I'm going to buy your coffees all week. Well, it don't matter because I'm going to buy you coffee for a year. Like, it seems silly, but what if? What if? Here, I'm going to pull my seat out for you. No, I pulled out two seats for you. Well, you can have all the seats in the entire place then. Well, that's great because I'm going to buy the building for you and then you can be here. What if you start thinking, like, here's how I could outdo one another in honor? And it would just go so viral that all of a sudden, just like Mike said in his offering word, which is just killer, something that seems like a ripple, all of a sudden becomes this tidal wave. And it hits through the rest of the world. And all of a sudden, they don't know what's happening, but they know that they're looking to the church and taking their cues from the church as to how to do honor as opposed to what else is around them. Come on, somebody.